In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Exodus 15 begins with the canticle Cantemus Domino, the canticle we have in Lutheran Service Book as number 925. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. This hymn of praise and thanksgiving follows the defeat of Pharaoh and his chariots and army at the Red Sea. The children of Israel are rejoicing at the events. Just before our appointed reading today, Miriam repeats the refrain, Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Moses immediately follows this song of triumph with the verses we just heard. For 3 days, the children of Israel journeyed into the wilderness without finding water. When they did find water, they couldn't drink it because it was bitter. Moses records for us the reaction of the people. The people grumbled against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? 3 days from utter rejoicing to the despair of, What shall we drink? We might say this was rather typical for the children of Israel, except that there was very little rejoicing after the crossing of the Red Sea. There was basically a lot of grumbling about the conditions in which they found themselves. Although they reacted in the wrong way, the concern was valid. What shall we drink? They needed both water and food in the wilderness to sustain them. Moses also knew this. He interceded for the people, crying out to Yahweh, and Yahweh responded. Yahweh showed him a log or a tree, which Moses threw into the water, and the water became sweet, drinkable. God saved the day by performing a miracle. But it was also a miracle that gave the children of Israel the right to sing in exultation. After having Moses stretch out his hand over the sea, Yahweh drove back the waters with a strong wind. Later, after all the children of Israel had crossed on dry land, Moses stretched out his hand again over the sea, and the waters came back together. Moses records at the end of the 14th chapter of Exodus, Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. It was God himself who brought about the defeat of the Egyptians. It was God himself who brought about the sweetening of the water at Marah. Both times, God worked through his servant Moses to rescue the children of Israel from dire circumstances. And we should note, both times God worked through means, first through the hand of Moses, and then through the log. God was with his people continually. They were never out of his sight. He was watching over them, rescuing them as needed, precisely because they were his people. He had brought them out of the house of bondage and would not forget them. The incident of the bitter water does not stop there, though. Moses continues, There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. God tested them? Hadn't the people just failed a test of their faith? They had seen the great might of God in destroying an entire Egyptian army, and now they were complaining about bitter water. But before I toss too many verbal stones, let us not forget that during this Lenten season, we ourselves take the opportunity to see how thoroughly each of us has failed in doing what God has asked of us. We get to review our own failings and shortcomings during this season. Remember, O man, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Is this a test that can be passed? Certainly, for God is not testing us to disprove our faith, but to prove it. St. Peter stated it this way, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Because God himself has given us the faith that we have through the washing of baptism, we can confidently expect that it will stand the test, not by looking at our old nature, but at our new nature. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new has come and the old has been drowned. But the old man remains a part of us until our death. The old sinful nature daily revives itself, pleading for a second chance, certain that today it will pass the test, that it will diligently listen to the voice of God because it has to listen to God. And today, as every day, the old sinful nature fails completely. Daily we drown that old sinful nature and let the new man arise, who knows that today it will diligently listen to the voice of God because it gets to listen to God. The new man keeps all the statutes of God because it delights in the law of God. And that is the perfection that God sees in us because he sees that perfection through the cross of Jesus Christ. Unto the God who sees us in that way be praise and glory to the Father and the Son. Do the eternal Spirit honor now and evermore be done. Praise and glory in the highest, while the timeless ages run. Amen.